Today's message is entitled Unsurrendered Self. We spent the last 3 months on dead end roads. And then recently, the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been on the road out, the way off of those dead end roads, through the Lord's Prayer. And then I got to thinking about my own life and how many times I've committed to something, and then I go back, slide back, call it backsliding. We all have a tendency to return to dead end roads from time to time and forget that we have the victory in the Lord, and we get off of that victory road. It's kind of like when I came off of alcohol. That urge would be there, and that urge would be there, and that urge would be there, and then I'd do a turnaround, a backslide. It was before I was saved. So I had a desire to quit, and I knew I had to quit because I definitely was an alcoholic. And yet, and still, I'd go for weeks and weeks, and then all of a sudden, I'd go back on that dead end road again. And I'd hate myself for weeks after. And I'd fall into terrible guilt over it because I had my family. Yet still I couldn't help myself. But until I came to the Lord, surrendered myself, I really didn't have any victory at all. It was just sort of temporary. Let's say then today we return to one of these dead-end roads called unsurrendered self. I think it's one of the reasons we have inadequate faith. And that reason is that self has not been surrendered to God. We give up everything except that last thing, self. Ooh, that's a hard one to give up on. Yet and still, if we don't, if our attention isn't diverted onto something else beyond ourselves, we're miserable. Throughout my ministry, I've met a lot of people, and of course, starting with myself, before being saved and learning that there was more to life than me. Yeah, we give up everything except the last thing, the self. That, how about me? How about looking at me? What am I? Chop liver anyway. What? That self. Car was going down the road here and it had the alarm system in it. And it was saying, your door is ajar. Definitely not the language you use here on the north side. More like, shut your door, fool. And I thought, well, you know, these cars are so complicated, they have to have a computer to tell you what's wrong with them. You can't get under it. The hood anymore and just fix something or go by feel. And I thought, oh, if humans work that way, red lights would constantly be flashing on. Let's say there was a light there that said unsurrendered self-light, that would be going on and off all the time. By the way, unsurrendered self does a lot of lying. Oh, if there was a horn that went off every time we lied, we couldn't even be preaching. Well, the Bible says, let all men be liars, let God be true, because why? Men are all liars. You're born that way and you're going to die that way, and maybe you'll be a little sneakier about it, but there's a tendency to lie in degrees. And what if that voice would call out lie every time? Remember when you were kids, liar, liar, pants on fire? What if every time you said something, maybe someone would ask you, how are you? Say, fine. Liar, 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 pants on fire. Huh? Do you really love your wife? Huh? I mean, these are things you have to deal with. These are things that you have to look at. Liar, 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 pants on fire, huh? How's it going? How's your business? I mean, there's all kinds of questions, and people lie all the time. No one ever says, for the most part, well, how's business? Lousy. Especially when they got a customer right in front of them. Well, the fact really is there are signs that are out there, and you know where the signs show up? On our face. You can read them in the face. The unsurrendered self always brings a clouded, a face that has been filled with conflict wrinkles. And only when you get yourself off of your hands and put yourselves into the hands of God, I mean, even in a very little way, then the face will light up. Then you can actually say that you've lightened up. You ever been around somebody that's under heavy, heavy, heavy turmoil of mind all of the time? Their mind is just under turmoil all the time. And they're always looking for a way out. Well, the way out is to surrender yourself. Concentrate, the song says, on the Lord. Deny yourself, bear a cross, and all those different scriptures. I talked to a young man recently on the telephone, and he says, you know, I am so tired of living within myself. I'm fearful, and oh my God, isn't there a spirit of fear on this planet right now? Oh, really? Deals with self, when it comes right down to it. And he went on, he says, I'm so uneasy. I am so miserable. I am tired of playing the part. Did you ever on your job get tired of playing the part? A long time ago I learned, don't play a part. What you see here, folks, is what you get. You might not think it's much, but that's just the way I am. Maybe I wouldn't pass anymore in the suburbs. I couldn't live out there. I couldn't, minister out there. And he went on, he says, every day is a drag. Everything, he says, is so boring. I thought, man, this man is ready for suicide. There's nothing new. And I said, well, everything you've said is scriptural. But also, as far as you being fearful, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but a strong mind, perfect peace. Righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. And as far as being uneasy, whenever you're continually dealing with yourself all of the time, you're going to be uneasy. And miserable. And as far as you playing a part, the more you play that part, and several parts, do you ever know anyone that has to play a part here and a part there, and he's got all these parts? Sometimes they mix their parts up. And they're always playing a part. I did that for years. And I got good and sick of it. Playing a part. Got so sick of it that I turned to alcohol to just get away from myself. And that's basically what drinking is. heavy drinking. And so he went on and he says, I want to be totally immersed, submerged in God. I have so many resentments. When aren't there a lot of people walking around with a lot of resentments? Well, I resent that. I can't help myself. I just resent that. I wonder how many brothers and sisters are walking around with resentments. Totally, totally hating each other, and yet they play the part, and we put up with each other, and so on like that. And then that's in every family. Oh, they're coming over. Well, let's just make the best of it. Make the best, what they're saying is, let's make the best of a real bad thing. Well, isn't that the truth? You listening on the radio or this tape? Is it not the truth? And that's what's wrong with this country right now. Nobody's getting along, period. And until those resentments are dropped, until forgiveness comes in and you accept the person just the way they are, not only is a family unit not going to come together, but our country won't come together. Certainly not our world. Though I have, he said, so many annoyances. I can't stand myself any longer. I says, you're a candidate for the Lord. What you need is to be saved. Well, what does that mean? I says, saved from yourself. Sounds to me like you'd rather, do yourself in than do yourself some good. And so you're going to have to make a decision on whether you want to save yourself. Do you want to save yourself? Well, then you have to give yourself to God. Outside of that, there is no saving yourself. God saves you from you. And so at 39 years old, almost 40 years old, I laid down the bottle. Now, I'm not talking about just a little bottle. I'm talking about a gigantic Sears building bottle. A crane lifting bottle consumed because of my uneasiness, because of my unhappiness, because of my fearfulness, because of being miserable. Because I had to contend basically with just myself, and that's where the world is right now. Couldn't give it over. And so a self on one's hands is conflict. You know what I mean by conflict? When you're just in total conflict and you're in the middle of a conversation. Oh, what did you say? I didn't get that. There's no concentrating. You're always under conflict. And so self can never be satisfied ever. That's like when you give your kids too much. You can't satisfy them ever. What they need to be taught is deny yourself. Pick up a cross. Go do something for somebody else. Get your mind off your miserable self and then you're happy. Well, it doesn't sound right. And it doesn't fit in with the world today as it is. But that's the only way out. Is to deny yourself and do something for somebody else. That'll even get your mind off of being a sissy ugler. Say amen, somebody. A lot of people are just, oh, I'm so ugly. I'll tell you what, you go on out there and you do something for somebody else and all of a sudden you get beautiful. Yeah, you can have your mind on yourself so heavy about how ugly you are. Now, if that would be the case, I would be thinking of nothing else myself. You hear that? Well, that's what I'm talking about. It's so into self. I'm so shy. So what? Going out and do something for somebody else, and all of a sudden, when you get into Christ and doing something for somebody else, your shyness leaves. In fact, that's sin. Do you know that? That being over humble. Praise God that I'm so humble. Come on now. And so that self, centered on self, and I'm ministering to this young man here, is off center. It's wrong center. And it loses all of its power when it's self-centered. And you, when you're self-centered, you got to be selling yourself all the time. Right? You have to sell yourself. You have to package yourself. And there's so much of that goes on nowadays. You got to package yourself. I like the way you comb your hair. I like the way you wear your clothes. Huh? And it's a packaging of the person. Well, why did you wear a suit today? Well, dedication. It's a thing to do. There are things to do. I'm not saying that you don't make yourself presentable. If you're going out to sell a home, you have to make yourself presentable. You can't go there with curlers in your hair, right? And a great big scarf on with these big beer can curlers in there and fluffy slippers on, huh? And an old dowdy old garb on. I just got out of bed. No, I'm not saying that. But there is so much packaging now of self, it's sickening. Just, it's overdone. You can't be yourself anymore. I mean, just, you know, clean and comb your hair and, you know. No, you got to package yourself all the time if that's what you're up to. Self-centeredness. You have to sell yourself. You can't relax. You're always selling it. You can be in the biggest fight. I won't do it. Ring. Oh, hello. And that's not all wrong, getting into arguments. That's you. But isn't it sickening when someone is doing that and they pick up the phone and say, hello, Mello. Say amen, somebody. Mellow. You're not mellow at all. You lose all your power when you're self-centered. You must keep your guard up all the time. We're going to have a meeting this morning, so you got to get just right for that meeting, you know. Huh? Huh? Get it right. Get it right. And, you know, you get so nervous that you probably stink when you get in there. Man, what happened to that man? It's, drag him out of here. He must be dead. Well, in a way, he is dead. Because he's trying so hard to package himself to be just right for these people that are standing in there, and they've packaged themselves. All gift wrapped. For what? Are you hearing this today? Oh, one way to be miserable is just repackaging yourself all the time. Keeping looks up. Know what I mean by keeping looks up? You got to continually be buying all the time to keep... I was that way. Had to have it all to keep the looks up. You got to look successful. And there's a certain amount of truth in that. But I think it's overdone. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying if that's your main purpose... is satisfying yourself, it won't work. You can't buy enough junk. No, you're all right as long as people are patting you on the back. You ever been around somebody that needs a pat on the back all the time? Good job, Charlie. Good job. They do that to dogs. Good boy. Good boy. Right, Ken? In fact, some people think more of their dogs really than they do their mate, right? Ooh, they wouldn't carry their mate to the barber. Would they? But when your great stuff, oh, you're so great. They gotta have to continually be built up all the time. Because they're into their self. And when those pats stop, then you're in the dumps. Well, what kind of day did you have today? Oh, it's a terrible day. I don't know. I think I'm slipping. I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's them. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the economy, but I don't know. I'm miserable. Guess I'll have me another double whiskey and a water wash. Just to sort of forget about myself for a while. Man, I've given myself a hard day today, and that's actually what it is. We always bring on ourselves that hard day, don't we? Well, you bring it on yourself. My mother used to tell me that all the time. You know what? You brought that on yourself. Hello, we're holding your son down here at the police station. Hey, you brought this all on yourself, sonny boy. Hello, we have your son in the principal's office. You brought that on yourself. You hearing this? When the reviews I'm saying are unkind, you fold up. And then you get people that are lovers of self and they come along. Now you got a group. One thing worse than a lover of self is getting two of them together. Now we got conflict. And then bring a group of them together in a social party. And they all love themselves. And they're looking at how this one is dressed and that one is dressed. And did you notice the thread hanging off that coat? Boy, that and the pants on that was shiny. I could see my face in the seat of his pants. I mean, hey, this guy's had that garb for a long time. And we say that for self-gratification. And we're all sizing one another up on what we have and what we're going to have and so on like that. And that's the whole world right now. I was so glad when Don told me that I could borrow his vehicle. It wasn't that important to him. Yeah, you can borrow it anytime you want to. Isn't that the way things should be? Shouldn't we share things? What good are things when they're just sitting? And so the neighbors can see them. Oh, I'm putting ripped the curtains off. Oh, look at that. Look what they got out there. But these people don't help you, do they? They get into conversations about the other person. And then when you're gone, then they get in a conversation about you. And they might say something like, even Christians, well, you got to change. Well, what is a Christian anyway? It's someone that receives Christ. That's it. Right? Oh, you can't come into our church because you haven't received Christ. The church would have to empty out. Well, that's like what makes a Jew? Well, a Jew is a Jew is a Jew. They'll always be a Jew. And when you push them, their Jewishness comes out. Because that's their religion. Because that's the way they were made. And I think that Christians need to be challenged that what makes you a Christian? Are you doing anything? Do you want to do anything? I'm not talking about being a goody-goody two-shoes. That doesn't make you a Christian. Or carrying a Bible and quoting verses and telling people, you know what, you need to change. Well, that might be true, but it's not for you to say. Oh, you're not supposed to say that. Judge not the world, they're already in judgment. Don't judge them. Take care of yourself. Because a Christian is someone that's received Christ, period. Have you got any other way of proving it? Can you ask God, are they a Christian? He doesn't want that from you. I think there are people in the world that act more Christian than a lot of Christians do. No, that's the truth. Yeah. When we put a plea out for money, we get nothing from the body of Christ, we get it from the world. Why? Oh, maybe they feel guilty. Well, Christians should feel that way too then, shouldn't they, for not doing it? But what constitutes a man's being changed? When he surrenders himself to God. That's it. That's as simple as it is. And maybe it's only a little bit at a time. That's not our business. And so the self I've been talking about is a self-demanding self instead of a dedicated self. And that is an maladjusted, unhappy self. And they're sitting in houses all over the United States. They're sitting around. I'm going to work. Oh, yeah, goodbye. Get out of here, you bum. Right. Well, tell it like it is. Maybe they don't say that, but that's what they're thinking. Get out of here, you bum. Right? And maybe the man is thinking, I'm glad to get out of here, right? Oh, you mean there are people that are self-centered and they're Christians? I won't even answer that one. I'll let you on the tape or radio, you answer it. And that's why people are miserable right now. They're just centered totally in themselves. Well, I hear somebody saying off the radio here. Well, I don't know enough about myself to surrender myself. You know enough. You know enough. You know all you need to know. Well, what am I saying? Change masters. You're the master over yourself. Let God be the master over you. Stop taking poison. What's the biggest drug there is in this country today? SELF. And people are overdosing on self. You ever seen somebody overdosed on self? Man, oh man, they're miserable. They're sitting there, they're malcontent. I mean, you know, they can't even have fun. I'll tell you what, if I couldn't have fun, then just forget it. Just totally forget it. You know what I'm saying? When you go to these big preachers' seminars, if I couldn't have fun at one of those things, I wouldn't even want to go, because everybody, a lot of times, is so serious. So formal. Huh? And you know what? They're off target because they're consumed with themselves and everybody's butting in on each other trying to prove how much they know. And the Bible says, know nothing. Saving Christ and Christ crucified and rose again. Know nothing that you may know something. See, if you know everything, you don't know anything. You can't learn anything. Have you ever been around somebody that knows it all? Huh? And don't surrender your problem without surrendering yourself. See, like I had a message years ago, I think you made mention of it some weeks back. You are the problem. I remember giving that message and where I gave it. The problem, I think the tape was, is you. See, almost all of our problems are rooted in unsurrendered self. That's why housewives don't do their housework right away. They're just sitting in self. That's why people in the U.S. hate to go to work. You know, the downfall of this country is that people do not want to go to work. They moan and they groan and they carry on and just have a terrible time because they do not want to work. And if jobs were provided, they'd find a way of escape and would say, oh, it was God. He got me out of that. No, I mean it. If you had a job for everybody, how many would want to go to work? I mean, there's a lot of them that would go to work, but there's a lot of them that wouldn't go to work. Think about that. Isn't that sad? And you know why it is? Because everybody is stuck on self. No, I wouldn't do that. Well, you got to start out. What is the starting wage? Well, you start here, it's nothing. And then it goes up to something, and then it goes up to something else, and then I won't even speak of what you end up with. Do you find that in your business? Out there at the animal hospital, Kent? A lot of people really don't want to work, huh? They don't want, well, they'll go to work and they'll punch in, but they won't work. And you have to go in there with that little, is it about this long, the pooper scooper? In the kennels? And they have to do that, you know. They really make a big deal out of something. You know, gag. Oh, gee. And isn't that the way it is when you go out into the shops and you go out, you can walk around Target and you can walk around Ward's and Sears and all these, you can never find anybody to help you. One time I was over here at the Holiday and I was shopping in there and I got in there and I was looking, we're open till I think it was 2 in the morning or something like that a few years back. And so I went in there, there was nobody in there. And so I wanted to ask a question. There's nobody around. So I just yelled out, help! You know, nobody came. Where were they? Were they sleeping? I'll go to work and I'll stay there till 2 in the morning, but I ain't going to do nothing. And we wonder about the economy of things. You have to give yourself into God's hands, folks. And your problems then are in His hands. A lot of illnesses can be traced right back to self-centeredness. Did you know that? A person that gets into a piteous state, into a state of fear and just a pitiful state. And pretty soon they put themselves in a wheelchair and pretty soon they can't move. And if you track it all the way back, and this is not one or two persons, this is a lot of people. Mental illness and all kinds of different things happen to them. You know why? Because they're in their self. Well, that's really what happens when I was escaping into the bottle. Little boy got lost in a department store just a few years back. And they went looking all over this department store for this kid, and they couldn't find him. And I think something like 4 hours. I left after an hour and a half. They called me. And she said, well, I found my son. He was sitting behind the counter looking at someone doing one of these potato peeler things, you know, that does all the different things. It peels the potatoes and makes curly cues out of them, and you know, ladders out of them, and automobiles out of them, animals out, does everything. See, and he just got fascinated by that. And she said, you know, Pastor, the next day I noted that my son was going from room to room and from behind a couch and behind a chair, and he was going all over. And I said, son, what are you doing? He says, well, I had so much fun when I lost myself the other day, I'm trying to do that again. And that's exactly what I did. I tried to lose myself in booze and drugs. Isn't that a kicker? And you can't get rid of yourself. You only take up the next day a more miserable self, a more unconfident self, someone that's been in the tank. Well, it's the same way with shopping, isn't it? I'm unhappy. I'm unhappy. I've got so much money. I think I'll go shopping. And you get all hyped up to go shopping. Fix the hair and get ready to go, and oh, I'm so glad to get out of this house. I hate it. I hate this house. I hate it. Huh? It's a beautiful home. I hate that chair. I hate the TV. I hate the lamps. I hate the rug and the dog. I'm going shopping. Ooh, that makes me feel so good. It doesn't have to be anything special, just that they're going shopping to make themselves happy. Guys buy cars and things like that. I did. To make myself happy. And to a degree, I still do that. But I mean, it's not the foremost thing in my life. But the woman goes out and she goes shopping. She doesn't care. Oh, I'll take a half a dozen of these. We get a lot of that stuff down here. Not even opened. I don't know if they got afraid to tell their husband. They ordered a half a dozen this, half a dozen that, and they'd all better get rid of it. But they go out and they have to shop. They have to buy something. Oh, that's so darling. Oh, I just got to have that. What, how much is it? $49.95 for this beautiful little set of salt and pepper shakers. Hardly nothing. I'll take it. And they might have a dozen of those things at home. But they just gotta have it. Oh, it's so cute. Oh, I gotta have it. Oh, I got to. Why? Well, I don't know. I just gotta. You know what you could do with that money? You could go give it to somebody and be happier. Not, I mean, not every time you think of getting something for yourself. You can dress it up. But I mean to say, once in a while, once in every little while, do something for somebody else besides yourself. Did the salt and pepper shakers make her happy? Did they? Did it make you happy, Mrs. Tape Listener? Huh? Come on, fess up. Well, no. And so I went to the next door. And they can come home with a truckload of junk and they're still not happy. By the time they unwrap it, why did I buy this thing? It's ugly. And they'll put it someplace on a shelf and never take it down for the next 10 years and never even know they had it. Well, it's the same with TV too, isn't it? That's an escape hatch, isn't it? During the day, as the world flip-flops. Woo! Well, I'm hitting some nerves. Yeah. I mean, sometimes in the suburbs, people likened me to coming to, like going to the dentist. They knew that they needed to have that root canal. But the thought of it. But isn't that what sets you free? Isn't it the truth, and the truth will set you free, and do it with a little humor so people ain't laying on the floor with their tongue hanging out and frothing at the mouth ministry? Come on now. But see, that's just a temporary vacation, all of that. The bottle and the vacations and the things, it's all temporary. Soon over. And then the conflict and the fear and the boredom come back in again. Only then, by surrendering yourself to God, are you really free of yourself. That's the only permanent release. 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5. There will come times of stress. Well, they're here, aren't they? How many know times of stress are here? Real times. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligates, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of religion, denying the power thereof. And we are in that time right now. A picture of moral decay. And it's happening worldwide right now. I mean, we're in a state of stink. No right to privacy anymore. No ethics anymore. And in the end it says that there will come a strong delusion. How many saw a Time magazine cover? Anybody in here see the cover on Time magazine? And it's, what is Mary? Was she a handmaiden of the Lord? Was she the first woman liber? And the Bible warns that there will come lies. And now they're even saying, well, what was Christ? Well, he was, he probably was married, someone said in a recent article. And the Bible warns, in the end, the Bible tells you everything, there will come that strong delusion. Strong. And it says, even almost the elect will be fooled. Because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5, there will come a times of stress, for men will be lovers of self. And where did it all begin? Like I said, lovers of self. That's the root of all evil. Money, the love of money is the root of all evil, they say. Well, having money isn't the root of it, just the love of it. The same way the love of self is. That's the first fruit of evil, just to be totally consumed with yourself. I had a friend that became a multimillionaire. I don't know where he's at right now, but he became a I don't even know if he's alive. Multimillionaire. Then on his climb, you could just see him getting more and more miserable all the time. Well, I'd like to have that misery. Give it to me. Give it to me. How do you know that? See, if the self is out of place, all else is misplaced. And you can live a totally horrible life. People that are in the retirable age, And so the self is made primarily, I believe, for going beyond itself. Go beyond yourself. Just totally, just deny yourself over here once in a while to start with. Deny yourself and just say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something for some, and don't do it for recognition. Now, first you will, and that's all right, but then just try to get out of that mess. Step out of that. See, when you obey that law, then you start to reign. Rule and reign, the Bible says, with Christ, when you get that law down. And if you don't, you disobey that law, hey, you lose it. You ruin yourself. And note further, it says there will be times of stress, for men will be lovers of self. And I like to look at this one word here, for. Because anyone that is primarily a lover of self is at strain with himself. Ever been around someone and they're just totally detached and they're just into themselves? Totally. Are they not a stress to themselves? Are they not a stress to you having them around? Always in a turmoil, always inwardly uptight, nervous, something to prove, unhappy. Now look at this, holding a form of religion, but denying the power thereof. What's that saying? They're saying that the religion isn't potent enough to bring self to self-surrender, so it's not that central, the central thing is you yet, and that is doomed for failure. Let me close with this, that the power of our faith is found in the power to induce us to offer ourselves to God. And the more you do that, the freer you're going to be. It'll tell whether your religion is going to be a form or a force. That depends, the power depends on that. Who's going to have the power? Say, it seems like the more I give up of myself, the happier I am. Can you say amen, anybody? The more. Maybe that's your family. Now another one is gone, Alicia. Right? Another one is gone. Whew. Well, they're all gone now, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you got to give it over. And so you had to give that over. You feel better? Well, there's a little sadness. You'll go into the room, and little Greggy's room in there. Oh. It's like when a cat disappears for a while, you expect them to jump out, you know. Right? Huh? And you'll call out, Greg, Greg, huh? He isn't there anymore. Praise God, that kid is gone. Right? But you don't feel that way. You feel guilty feeling that way. Oh, maybe I should go out shopping for the kids. Maybe I should buy him this and buy him that. Don't buy him nothing. Break yourself of that habit and then go out and buy him something. But sever the relationships. Right? And I'm just saying that because it's your last, the last baby dumpling is out of the house. What, think what you can do with that room now. You can make a sewing room out of it. Do it quick. Before he decides to move back in again. What's that, hooked on phonics? Well, we're hooked on our kids. We are. And the Bible warns against that. There's a time. There's a time when they gotta go. This is like there's a time when the parents have to go. They hearing this? Whew. Let me give you a couple of tips. I call them the six D's. The attitudes we take towards ourselves, the six D's. The deny yourself, the decorate yourself, the deify yourself, the deceive yourself, the divide yourself, and the dedicate yourself. First, you can deny yourself in the sense of saying, I don't exist. Oh, I don't count. Well, that light would trigger on again. Lie, lie, lie. I don't consider myself. Lie, lie. I don't exist. That's a lie. Just let people treat you like for 1 hour like you don't exist and that'll show up, right? I don't count. Oh, yes, you do. No, I mean it. Only God exists. And there's a lot of religious people like that. You know how untrue that is? You will always be you. Whether you're you in yourself or you in God, God allows you to be you. Now, I haven't changed that much, I don't think, since I come to know the Lord. I mean personality-wise and drive-wise. I've always had a lot of drive. I haven't changed that much. God has not asked me to totally be a dead horse. All right? He doesn't say, you worship me and just totally you don't exist. No, you do exist. Maybe you deny yourself in the sense of putting on the brakes. Oh, I got to put on the brakes here. Oh, I got to slow down. What's that song? Slow down, you're going too fast. You got to make your motor last. Something like that. And so you try to put the brakes on. You see a lot of Christians, they get saved and they try to, I'm going to put the brakes on. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stop that. I'm going to stop everything. You know what happens? They don't give up nothing. It has to happen naturally. It has to happen as you get your mind off yourself and you start to seek the things of God and you go on out there and do something just in a normal, natural way. You don't have to give everybody scriptures every day. You just sort of like change yourself and change yourself a little bit at a time as God allows it. You know, I got a friend that started out in the Christian mode, and I tried to tell him, I says, it's only by grace. And he was so legal, man. He stopped everything. He got so bound up and mean, and he read all these books, you know, the casting out of demons. And he got so legal and so hard on himself, he blamed everything on the demons. The demon to warts, and the demon to alcohol, and the demon to this. Will you pray for me? I think I got the demon to this and the demon to that. And he was so legal and he was so had the brakes on so tight. It was too much stress for him. He ended up going crazy. Do you think religion can make you go crazy? It can. It can when you try to do it. When you put the brakes on. Next, I said you can decorate yourself. That means dress yourself up. Overdo it. Oversmile. Play the part. Hi. Hi out there. This is Pastor Paul. How are you? Huh? Man, if I start doing that, I'm going to have to go to the dentist for sure. Huh? Remember Phil Silvers? How are you? Huh? Glad to see ya. And you're so busy with your attire and trying to make yourself known of men that you're bidding for attention. Did you ever notice how kids bid for attention? You have four kids, I have four. And they're bidding for attention. Dad, over here, me. Look at me, huh? Look at me swim underwater. And they splash for about 2 feet, you know. Oh, look over here. Look, watch me. And that's the way we are sometimes. We're bidding for attention. We want attention. How about me decorating ourselves? And then we deify ourselves. And boldly, frankly, no apology given, make ourselves the central and the absolute. You know what? It works for a while. It does. Because people say, you know, that guy, I mean, he's, whew, man. You get away with it. You gain power and you gain, well, look at the Russian Empire. Look at Gorbachev. Just look at that. And you get all that attention and you, well, Saddam. It doesn't last. Do you know what the payoff is? I'll tell you what it is. You find that that success and power is a dead-end road. A proud, self-assertive man is not punished outwardly, he's punished inwardly. He has himself, and that is his reward, and just. And what happens? He doesn't like himself. Well, I'll divide myself. I'll be a Christian, and then I'll be a non-Christian. The house divided against itself will not stand. It cancels one another out, and it says it will not stand. And so the answer is, and here it is, for all you RB lovers, the answer is to dedicate yourself. It fulfills the first law of our being. Lose yourself, that in doing that you may gain yourself, find yourself, have your life. Another friend of mine died, very successful, and he wrote a bunch of little notes, and I got one of them. And he says, you know, Paul, I was a very successful man. But you know, I never could hold on to a friend for more than 6 months. I had to go out and drink because I was so mean to people, I just couldn't stand myself. And so that was his payoff, wasn't it, of life dedicated to himself and his resentments. You know, a lot of people are dedicate themselves to their resentment. I'm mad and I'm going to stay that way. And folks, the moral universe simply didn't approve of him or his resentments. And so it broke him. Whew. But if you want the universe to back you and bless you and further you, dedicate your powers to God. Then you have that source of, let's call it, cosmic backing. You are free because you are bound, but you're bound to the center of all things, God. And the Bible says if you belong to God, all things are yours. That's the end of my message. You are joint heirs with Christ. That's that road that we slip back on every once in a while. Self-centeredness. You're going to fight it the rest of your life. Praise God that the little guy was dedicated today. I mean, that's a start. Just think about the shaping and the molding of that little guy's life. Praise God. Praise God. I mean, it's just a start of molding his life. You just physically came up there and you decided, I'm going to dedicate this little one to the Lord. That's a start. Isn't it? Well, you made a decision. Well, you see what's wrong out there. What I talked about today, it's the truth, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It's not always what we want to hear. But then again, change doesn't come by giving people what they want to hear all the time. Does it? Does it? I mean, I have to deal with myself all the time. I mean, I'm a tyrant. Okay? Rebellious in every way. And yet still I have to deal with that all the time. And I have to come to recognize that if I'm going to center myself in myself all the time, it just doesn't work. You're miserable. The minute I'm miserable, I know that I'm into myself. Well, what's wrong? They're thinking about you again. And if you want to have a boring, miserable day, get into yourself. You ever done that? You ever done that, hon? You're new. I'm going to ask you a question. Start picking on them early, I always say. You ever done that? Just get into yourself and you're just sitting there that whole day and you're miserable. The kids suffer, everybody suffers, because you have decided that, hey, life has not been fair to me. And life, you just get life the way it comes, right? Are you born again, honey? Take my hands. and take my hands. We're going to do this today. They're going to dedicate themselves to the Lord today. See, and this is what the Bible is. It isn't going to church and being a goody two shoes and doing all those do's and don'ts, wills and won'ts and chants and shouldn'ts. It's just simply receiving the Lord. Just pray after me and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. Praise God. I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Okay. That's just simple, isn't it? And it is simple, but people try to complicate it, see, for one reason or another. Basically, for selfishness, to keep them coming, keep them running to the altar, keep them dropping their money into the old hat. That's the reason there's so many churches, because everybody's vibing for all. There's only supposed to be one church, but everybody's, well, we wear little funny hats and long dresses and flower our face with cornstarch, and that's what we do. And they all have their own little ritual to get a hold of people's coin. It's true. Okay, who's going to sing today? Don and Mitzi.